This past week, I spent a few days in Atlanta, Georgia, at a place called The Conversation, which invited Jewish leaders from around the country to gather and talk about issues of Jewish interest, and we went to different specific groups. And one of the groups that I attended was asking about the question of the Armenian genocide. And in order to understand what it is that I want to speak about this morning, I need to give you a couple of words of background. Beginning about the year 1915, the Ottoman Empire began systematically to both expel and also to kill the Armenians in their midst. Estimates of how many Armenians died range between 700,000 to close to 2 million. To this day, as you will hear, this slaughter, which is referred to by almost all of the world as the Armenian Genocide, is denied by the Turkish government. But it is not just that it is denied. It's that Turkey uses its considerable leverage in the world to put pressure on any group, on any government, on any organization that would declare the Armenian Genocide a genocide, as opposed to the normal expected casualties of war. Because remember that this was in and around the time of the First World War. Now, as you may know, as you may guess if you don't know, part of the battleground of the Armenian Genocide has been the Jewish community. Because the Jews occupy a particularly precarious position in all of this. Turkey is Israel's one solid Muslim ally to the extent that they are allies. They certainly cooperate with Israel to a degree that is unimaginable for most Muslim countries. They are a democracy in the Middle East, which makes them crucial to Europe and to the United States. And that is why resolution, I believe the number is 160, which was just introduced, is such a contentious resolution. It's a resolution to label the Armenian Genocide a genocide, and there are all sorts of political implications. Any of you who know me know that I am not here to advocate one or another position for the U.S. government. Governments, as has been well said, have interests, not friends. And the U.S. government has particular interests. What I'm speaking about this morning is the fact that the Armenian community has turned to the Jewish community and asked us to declare in one voice that the slaughter of Armenians was a genocide. And at this conference, convened by Gary Rosenblatt of the Jewish Week, Bob Rifkin, an eminent lawyer in New York, very active at Park Avenue Synagogue and at the Jewish Theological Seminary, where he sits on the board, said to me, "How come rabbis aren't talking about this? This is a moral issue. And whether you think that it should be one side or the other, you got to talk about it." And I said, "You're right." So here I am. Because the government of Israel also will not label the Armenian Genocide a genocide. And there is a debate inside of Israel. But the Israeli government has also made it clear to the Jewish community here that they wish, for reasons you can understand, that we wouldn't talk about it too much either. And this led to a very interesting political brouhaha in the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, where Abraham Foxman at first declared that it wasn't a genocide, The Boston ADL seceded from the ADL on the basis of this because he had fired the head of it who contradicted him. He rehired the head of it. Then he issued a statement that it was tantamount to genocide. Tantamount meaning it is a genocide, but I don't want to say it. Now, I understand that certain political pressures operate on the head of a Jewish organization or the head of a government. And I really want to leave all of that aside. It is not my interest this morning to belittle or criticize those who are frightened of offending Turkey. But I want to establish a couple of things that are important for us to understand. And the first is whether it happened. Because that is, after all, what the Turks themselves argue about. Charles Krauthammer, in an editorial yesterday, in which he said that the U.S. government should not, at this time, acknowledge the genocide, begins by saying this: did it happen? Yes, unequivocally, that between 1 million and 1.5 million Armenians were brutally and systematically massacred starting in 1915 in a deliberate genocidal campaign is a matter of simple historical record. Neil Ferguson, in his book, The War of the World, the murderous campaign launched against the Armenians from 1915 to 1918 was qualitatively different, however, so much so that it is now widely acknowledged to have been the first true genocide. With good reason, the American consul in Smyrna, which is in Turkey, as you may know, happens to be the city that Chabtai Tzvi came from, though Ferguson doesn't mention that, declared that it surpassed in deliberate and long-protracted horror and in extent anything that has hitherto happened in the history of the world. Right? This is obviously hitherto means before World War II. These are the words of the Bavarian theologian Joseph Engart, who wrote to the Pope as it was happening. Not only have the men been killed, but of what are the women and children guilty? The destiny of these miserable ones was still more horrible than that of the men. By the thousands, they were abandoned in deserts and steppes, left to die of hunger and thirst and every sort of suffering. Thousands of women and girls were sold and passed from owner to owner for a sum of 20 lira. The boys were abandoned and compelled to adopt Islamic religion, because remember, the Armenians are Christians. The Turkish affirmation that the Armenian question is answered for us in reality meant the extermination of the Armenians. Now, please understand, Turkey today is not the Ottoman Empire. And nobody is suggesting that anyone in Turkey today is implied or culpable in a massacre that happened close to 100 years ago. But the Turkish government has threatened, both explicitly and implicitly, Jewish officials and others. They've had meetings with Jewish officials where they say, you know, the Turkish Jewish community will be in trouble if Jews in America speak out against this. And so we had a discussion in this small group: do we have a right to speak out when we won't bear the consequences? But I must tell you, any Jewish community that is imperiled because of what a rabbi in America says is a Jewish community that ought to get out of its country as soon as possible. And if, in fact, the Turkish government would, God forbid, take reprisals on Jews in Turkey, because we acknowledge that 90 years ago in their country a genocide took place as it did, that's a government whose stability and whose good intentions I wouldn't count on to start with. That is a favor no government has a right to ask. And now here is the most difficult point. for Jews who would otherwise be prudential, who wouldn't say it, who would take refuge, as some Jewish leaders have, in a sort of pusillanimous equivocation, which is another way of saying a cowardly way of not telling the truth. In the last New Republic, there's a review of a book called Blood and Soil, A World History of Genocide and Extermination, from Sparta to Darfur. And I happened to read the review, and the first paragraph reads as follows. A history of genocide is bound to leave a reader with gloomy and misanthropic reflections. Ben Kernan has provided the most extensive history of genocidal propensities I've ever read. He starts his history early. Now listen to the list. Roman and Greek massacres of barbarians, works through the Spanish conquest of the Americas, the exterminating vigor of American settlers towards the Indians, the Turkish way with the Armenians, the German way with the Jews, Stalin's way with the Ukrainians, the Khmer Rouge way with the Cambodians, the Serbs way with the Muslims, the Hutus with the Tutsis, and the Sudanese way with the Darfurians. Every one of those is a genocide. Can you imagine any Jew saying, yes, those are all genocides except for what happened to the Armenians? That we don't feel right calling a genocide, because after all, we have to protect our own. Now let me make it more difficult to you. Those of you who have visited the Holocaust Museum in Washington, do you remember the phrase that is etched up on the one of the walls, taken from one of Hitler's speeches? You know what Hitler said as he was slaughtering Jews all across Europe? He said, "Who remembers the Armenians?" The answer ought to be, we do. For a Jewish leader to say anything other than this was a genocide, it was a crime and ought to be acknowledged, is just wrong. And no political consideration, no geopolitical consideration, ought to intervene any more than it would intervene if someone said, well, I don't want to declare the Holocaust for fear of offending those in the Arab world who, after all, control a lot of oil. What would you say to a politician or a religious leader or anyone else who got up and said that? How would the Jewish community react if an Armenian leader got up and said, you know, we like to keep good relations with our friends in the Middle East, so if you don't mind, we'll just say a terrible thing happened to the Jews, but we won't call it a Holocaust. Because that's what Jewish leaders have been doing with the Armenian genocide. Our tradition teaches us from Kohelet, V'ha'elohim yivakesh et ha'nirdaf, that God loves those who are pursued. In other words, the oppressed, the hunted, those in trouble. And for God's sake, if the Jewish people can't sympathize with the victims, whether the victims are being victimized today or they were victimized 90 years ago, if we can't do it, then lama ze anochi, then why do we exist? We don't have another purpose other than to do what it is that God would have us do in this world, which is not only to grow our own spirits, but also to pay attention to others. I am not naive. I don't think that this is easy for a prime minister or a president to say. And I'm not going to start making policy recommendations for governments. But this is a synagogue. If we have any religious credibility, then every Jewish leader who doesn't have a governmental position should say what we all know to be true, which is not only did the Armenians suffer a genocide, but that genocide and the silence of the world as that genocide happened made it easier for Jews to suffer as well. When we say never again, that assumes that we acknowledge that it happened before, and not only to us. Our centennial scholar in residence was Elie Wiesel, and someone asked him, as he has been asked before, what do you learn from the Holocaust? And you know what he answers to that question? What you learn from the Holocaust is that you can get away with it. Because they got away with it. They did. But at least in Germany, there was some reckoning with the soul of the German people. At least in Germany, there were recriminations and investigations and endless debate among historians and theologians and philosophers. What does it mean that the most developed cultural country in the world became the most savage place in human history? If Turkey doesn't undergo that self-exploration, no one can force them to do it. But it is immoral to collude in their denial, in their self-deception, in their covering up of the past. I bring this up because it really does matter. It really does matter how the Jewish community reacts to the tragedies of other communities. We are always pointing our finger at the world and saying, why don't you care about us, and why don't you listen to us, and why does our suffering mean nothing? And we have no right to do that if we don't care about the suffering of others. That the Jewish community has stood up through Jewish World Watch and talked about Darfur is to our eternal credit, but it is hardly enough. Who remembers the Armenians? We should. Because, as the Latin proverb teaches us, change the names and the story is yours. We don't do it to seek the friendship of the Armenian community, though God knows we will take the friendship of any community that will befriend us. And we don't do it to offend the Turkish people, who, as I say, have shown extraordinary goodwill in the context of their community and their neighbors to Israel, and also to a great extent to the United States. They are an important country going through giant changes. And although they don't want any advice from a rabbi, the advice I will give them is you can't move forward purely if you don't come to terms with your own past. Someone once asked Maurice Samuel, why don't people like the Jews? And he gave a wonderful answer. He said, no one loves his alarm clock. And we are the alarm clock for the world. When the world is sleeping, we go off. And nobody loves to be woken up. But that is our task. And this morning, when we read about Abraham, we are reminded that God says, you will be a blessing to the nations, not just to the Jewish people, but to the world. And one peculiar and powerful thing about blessings is you don't always want them. Sometimes blessings come into your life and you resist those blessings with both hands and you push them away, but they are still blessings. There's a blessing. And probably an alarm clock. So it is important for us to declare unashamedly that we know that it may actually hurt, that it is against our interests, that from every point of view of real politics, we would keep our mouths shut. But people died, and they suffered. And we are the Jewish people, and we will not keep quiet in the face of suffering, especially when it is denied by the world. So once again, I ask you a question that was asked in a very different way. Who remembers the Armenians? We must. Because if we don't, in the end, the world will have a reason not to remember us. And also because all human beings are created in God's image. And when one of them suffers, every one of them suffers. And all of Israel is implicated in the suffering of all of God's creations. So let us remember the Armenians. Let us call it what it is, a genocide, a tragedy, something that foreshadowed the tragedy of the Holocaust. And let's not let the world get away with turning its back. Because every time it does, every time the world goes quiet, every time the voice of conscience grows still, something terrible happens. We have moved into a world where we can no longer afford the denial, the lies, the callousness, the blindness. We will not let the world forget the Armenians, as we will not let the world forget those who suffered and who died in the camps of Europe. And if the world doesn't like it, all we can say is, you may not like your alarm clock, but if you don't wake up, you never get to experience God's world, which means both the pangs of conscience and the joys of love. Shabbat Shalom.